This is the Jabberjaw Podcast Network.
I'm sick with this, I'm sick with this. Since you wasn't a part of my judgment, my own sweet time didn't teach what I found. I didn't recognize simple things anymore. I don't want to be defeated, I don't want to be defeated, I don't want to be defeated, I don't want to be defeated.
Oh, hey. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another installment of the show. I'm your host, Shane Told, as always. And welcome to Lead Singer Syndrome, a podcast where I take you into the backstage conversations I have with other lead singers. Today we have a great episode. Not one, but two lead vocalists of the band Wage War. We got the singer, we got the screamer. It's good stuff. Cody and Britton are here. Thanks so much to them for taking the time out of their crazy busy schedule. I guess they have a little bit of time off right now before they hit Europe, before they hit Warped Tour and everything else going on. They have a lot of music videos too. They have a lot. I was watching them all. What? These guys just do not rest. So stoked to have them. Great band. Wage War is here. Ocala, Florida, baby, in the house. Before we get into that, thank you, the listener, for listening to this. We are on episode 120-something. I lost count. It blows my mind. We're doing some server changes right now, new platform, all this stuff. And it's just crazy that I think I look back at all these people I've met and friends I've met through the show and fans I've met and all the stuff I've done, and it really just blows my mind that I've done this for so long and had so much support and success thanks to you guys. So thank you so much for listening to this. Of course, please help spread the word. Tell a friend, tell a loved one. Make sure you're subscribed. I know I tell you this every week, but you know, this shit's important. So thank you so much for being here. As always, if you want to get in touch, it's really easy. We got email. LeadSingerSyndrome@gmail.com. Feel free to reach out. I read all my email. I think I'm getting a little bit better at getting back to people too, so I may even email you back. We're on all the social media. Check out Facebook. That's the most kind of recently revamped one. Have a search on there. Like the page. And for you angry mother... for you angry people out there, we have the hate line. You can call me. You can leave me a message of hate. The number is +1-657-666-HATE. That is 657-666-HATE from your touchtone phone. Is that still a thing? Touchtone phones? I mean, I don't think rotary phones are a thing. I guess they still work if you plug them into the wall, but I don't know. I don't know what kind of phone you need to call. Just dial the number, call, leave me a message of hate if you're not so happy. And people have been leaving me these love messages lately. These like, oh, hi, Shane. Well, I don't have anything mean to say because you're doing such a great job, but I just wanted to say thanks. No. You can email me the love. That's great. The hate line is for hate only. Only messages of hate. And I do roll out clips. Well, I say I roll out clips. I've only rolled out a couple. But I will roll out clips of hate. You could be on the show. So please, 657-666-HATE. H-A-T-E. Before we get to the episode, I got to tell you about a couple things I'm up to in my life. If this sounds a little crazy right now, it's because I'm recording it in my car, driving on the 401 highway. That's Toronto's biggest highway. Someone told me once it was the busiest highway in North America. I think that that's got to be reserved for something in California. But hey, if it's true, that's the highway I'm on. Going to pick up some gear out of storage because we are heading over to Australia and New Zealand and Hawaii very, very soon. We're leaving at like 4 o'clock in the morning on a great tour with our friends in Comeback Kid. Tickets are on sale now. We're playing all the cities in Australia and 2 cities in New Zealand, 2 shows in Hawaii. So check it out. Tickets are available at destroyalllines.com. And yeah, that starts soon. So pick up a ticket for that. Also, Silverstein's heading back to Europe a couple more times, and as talked about in this episode, we're doing 8 Warped Tour shows, so make sure you have tickets for the last Warped Tour. It is going to be great, great bands. It's going to be an emotional roller coaster for me, I think, and I'm really looking forward to that. If you want to support the show, if you want to keep this thing going and growing, there's a really great way you can help. It's called the All Access Club. We got almost 300 members in this thing, and this is really what keeps the lights on around here. For as little as $6 a month, which is like one really nice coffee, you could become a VIP member of this podcast and get access to bonus episodes, Q&A sessions with me, merchandise sent to your house, access to merchandise you can buy, and an amazing community of other fans of the show and myself. We're on there every day chatting about just about everything. I mean, you want to make some friends? You want to talk to like-minded people into the same shit as you? Check out the All Access Club again. As little as $6 a month, the link is leadsingersyndrome.com/allaccess. And these people that have done this already are the reason that we're at 120-something episodes, can keep this thing going, can have all these amazing guests. Shout out to all my sinners worldwide. We got members from Canada. We got members from Germany. We got members from Sweden. We got members from Australia. We got members from the United States. We got members from New Zealand. We've got members from Costa Rica. We've got members from the United Kingdom. We got members from Singapore. We got members from all over the world coming together. It's a beautiful thing. So check it out again, leadsingersyndrome.com/allaccess. Before we jump into it, shout out to our sponsor, rockabilia.com, the best place to get band merchandise. Rockabilia.com, they got over 500,000 unique items, all officially licensed from the artists. It's getting nice out. Maybe you need a tank top. They got it. They got t-shirts. They got everything. I don't need to rhyme off all the things they have. But use this link, use this promo code, and save 15% off your entire order today. The promo code is PCJabberJaw, J-A-B-B-E-R-J-A-W. Go to rockabilia.com, punch that in, save 15% off your entire order. All right, let's get into it with Cody and Britton of Wage War. You both. Yeah. Look at this shit. Everything's coming up. Wage War. How are you guys doing? What's up? What are you guys? Are you guys at home? What are you up to?
I just got home from New Orleans yesterday.
Oh, what was going on there?
Just me and my girlfriend did a little vacation there.
Yeah, just getting fucking lit, I guess. I mean, New Orleans is like one of the craziest places on earth.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's cool. Who's who? Because I'm confused. Who went to New Orleans? Is that Cody or Britton?
Yeah, this is Britton right here.
Oh, hey, man.
And I'm Cody.
Hi, Cody.
And I've just been chilling.
That's good. Well, I mean, some well-needed rest. I mean, I was looking back at your schedule over the past, I don't know, call it like a year and a half. It's been insane. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys have had almost no time off.
Yeah, it's been pretty nuts. We pretty much, as soon as our first record came out in November of 2015, we pretty much have just been going. I don't think we've had, this is definitely the longest amount of time we've had off. I don't think we've had more than like 2 or 3 weeks at a time home. So we're very thankful for that. But yeah, it's been very crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's like hard, you know, I think most bands go through that, you know, once they realize, oh, we've been working so hard to attain, you know, this, and it's happening, and like, you know, you're getting all these tour offers, and it's like, and each tour offer is better than the last, you know, whether it's like, you know, a bigger tour, or like a band you guys really want to support, or if it's like an offer to do some headlining. You guys, like, it's almost impossible to turn it down. Is that kind of what's going on with you guys?
Yeah. I think, it's just been a crazy ride. And, you know, I think all of our mindset is just like, you're not the one out there that's like making the waves like someone else is doing it. Then so we've just trying to stay as like relevant as possible and just be on. I mean, we always want it to make sense. We don't want to just tour for no reason, but like so far everything has made sense. And man, it's just been great. But truthfully, I mean, I'm sure you know how this feels. We get home for like 2 weeks and I don't know what to do with myself. I'm ready to leave again.
Yeah. Yeah, that happens too. Well, I mean, you could get a sweet haircut. Haircut's looking good.
Very
looking
true.
Good. Great haircut. I was watching your videos, did they get a new guitar player? What's going on here? I was like, oh no, that's a fresh cut. Damn.
I moved to Nashville while on this time home, and I've been growing my hair out for like 2 years. And that's why I just like, you know what? I've lived this out. So they called it, when I got it cut, they called it the hippie killer. So.
Well, yeah, but you're I mean, you guys are like, we're turning into a long hair band there for a minute.
Yeah. Still, Seth, Great and Seth still have long hair, so I've told them they can't cut it, because then it looks like we're all copying each other.
Well, yeah, I mean, you guys are starting to look like a band that basically hadn't been home in 2 years. I can't find a barber on the road, so let's just grow this shit. Whatever, who cares? It's great to have you guys. Thanks, thanks for doing this. I don't even really know where to start. I mean, there's so much to talk about with your band. It seems like it's just kind of exploded. I know you guys have been working hard with your heads down for so long, but it seems like only over the past, I want to say like maybe 6 months or so, I'm seeing so many people talk about your band all the time, you know, on the internet. I know it's hard when you're immersed in it to really see that happening, but are you starting to see that sort of like shift, you know, in whether it's at your shows or even just like, you know, your presence online?
Oh, for sure. I mean, like, I get on Twitter and just post, like, dumb stuff that I think is funny, and kids just, like, crawl all over it. When, like, a year ago, if I were to do any kind of tweet, it was just get, like, 4 or 5 likes. I'm like, okay, well, no one gives a shit about us. But, I mean, I feel like now that we have the second record out and been touring a lot, like, kids have really been latching onto our band.
So it's Twitter first, music second, basically, is what you're saying. Let's see how many retweets. The retweets is basically the gauge of success, I would say. No, I'd say that's very accurate. So one thing about you guys that you guys, you know, you're proud, seemingly very proud of where you come from, in Ocala, Florida, which is a city that I think no one really knew about until A Day to Remember came out and claimed, you know, Ocala. And had songs about Ocala and all this stuff. And they really put that city on the map. I know you have a very strong relationship with Jeremy, obviously producing your last record. What's it like being from there? And what was it like, you know, coming up both as fans of music and as a band?
So,
go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead, Britt.
I feel like A Day to Remember, like, started a very cool music culture for, like, hardcore punk, pop punk, and metalcore stuff. There's so many bands coming out of like Orlando and Ocala area. After them, just like, oh, well, if they can do it, we can do it. And I mean, there's a lot of bands, and it felt cool to be someone from that same hometown, all this pool of bands, and just like actually get out on the road and start doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it was.
Go ahead.
So they were. I'm one of the two. We're basically all from like 10 to like an hour from each other ish, like Central Florida ish. I'm like one of the only people that actually was from Ocala when it started. But we claimed it as our hometown because that's where like all of the shows happen. So like every quote unquote home show we've ever had has always been in Ocala. But essentially growing up there was one venue, and it was called the Capitol. And that was where, like, all the bands played. I mean, Ocala is not even a market. If it was, it was, like, a C or a D market or something. But there was just something about, like Britton said, like, the small-town vibe. And then, like, seeing a band go from local band status to just, like, worldwide giant, that was just, like, inspiring. And it's still inspiring, like, in the Central Florida scene. Like, it's kind of the heroes. So it's a cool place. There's not much going on there now, but you know, I think there's definitely efforts being made by local promoters and stuff to try to get all that stuff going again.
So obviously you guys are, I'm not sure how old you guys are, but you're obviously younger than A Day to Remember. You didn't come up like alongside of them quite as their peers, I don't think. How did you get hooked up with Jeremy? How did that happen?
I'm 24, Britton's 26. I think they're all about 5 or 6 years ahead of us. They were probably on like Homesick or What Separates Me From You. Like,
yeah,
they were on some big record, and we had like just started out as like a band, and we had just done like an EP. And we have like the kind of the Ocala story is like everybody knows somebody in A Day to Remember, like, you know, like no matter where you are, no matter who you run into, like, oh, my cousin's friend is friends with Jeremy's, what, you know what I mean? It's just like everybody's got, you know, A Day to Remember connection. But we had a lot of mutual friends just from growing up in the same hometown. And somebody just like randomly plugged our band to Josh Woodard, who plays bass in the band. And he hit me up one day. He's like, hey man, it's like the music's tight. And, you know, it's like, just kind of keep me posted on how it goes. And, I guess the rest on what they'd say is history from there. So I just kind of kept giving him like the new music that we had, like pre-pros, so on and so forth. And Josh actually co-manages our band.
Oh, okay.
Now, from there, like he showed Jeremy, and Jeremy's like, this is sick. Like, I want to work on this. So,
nice.
We actually ended up doing, it never got released, but we did a 5-song EP with Tom Denny and who used to be in the band, and Jeremy, but that never got released at all. That was just like music to have to like shop out, and we got signed off a song on that, but none of those songs ever saw the light of day.
Really? So you guys, so it was an EP you did, and that got you signed to Fearless before you put up Blueprints?
Right, yeah. Wow. The song that we got signed off of is called Basic Hate, and it's on our first album. It had a different title at the time, but yeah, we did like 4 or 5 songs with Tom and Jeremy. And by the time all that came to fruition, those were like so old, and like, yeah, so we just decided to like take the ones that we wanted, and then the rest we just threw away and put the other ones on the wow. first record. So,
well, people, I don't know how much you've talked about this, but your fans hearing this are going to be like, I need these songs. I need these songs. It's true,
no,
though.
You
know that's true. It's pretty rare for bands to completely trash, you know, releases like that. That's pretty rare. But hey, I mean, good for you guys. If you weren't feeling passionately about it, then I think that's great. I mean, it's definitely a great connection you guys have with the Day to Remember. I know you guys just, like, the last show you played was Self Help, wasn't it? Just, like, what, last month?
Yeah. Yes. It was a couple weeks ago, actually.
Yeah. How was that?
It was awesome. You know, going into that, I was a little nervous. I'm like, we're going to play in front of a ton of people, and like, I hope they really get into it. And I've never heard that many kids, like, sing our words at the same time. It was really awesome.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that a crazy thing when you just hear your songs back to you like that loud, and you're like, and I always think to myself, I'm like, how the fuck do all these people know the words? Like, I barely know the words.
Yeah.
It's
to
crazy.
To a not so great credit though, we blew the PA twice somehow.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Well,
like,
I say we did. I think the sound company, what's been said is that the sound company put a tarp over the plug or something because it was raining outside and it overheated, and then they plugged the whole PA, like a festival PA, like main stage, into like 100 amp circuit or something. So we had some problems, but I'm pretty sure that the PA blew like 30 seconds into our first song, but we're on in ears, so we had no idea. So we just played the whole first song, and I remember looking out and being like, man, like this song usually like does a lot better than it's doing right now. We must really be sucking.
No, man, you were just rocking so hard. You just the PA couldn't handle the rock. My God. No, that is funny. And it's like, you know, as much as that stuff sucks, especially on a big platform like that where you're just worrying, you know, you say you were nervous, like you're just trying to play your best, and then you have this like extraneous thing happen that you can't control. Like that stuff always sucks, but in a way, sometimes it makes those shows even more memorable. Like I'll tell a quick story. We played a show, and it was in Dallas, Texas at the House of Blues, and we were co-headlining with Chiodos. This is probably about 10 years ago. And it's just a House of Blues, so you don't expect like things to go wrong, but the entire PA blew up. We couldn't do anything. Like there was no way to make sound. Like the mics weren't on or anything. And all we could do was I took an acoustic guitar and I stood on the stage and I tried to get everyone to like shh, and I played Basket Case by Green Day on acoustic guitar, and everyone sang, and it was like so like an amazing moment and a moment I will never forget in my life.
And that's like, awesome. That's sick.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes like these situations come out of, you know, kind of horrible situations present themselves into, you know, really rad situations. And I'll tell you, every time I'm in Dallas, somebody brings that up to me. Someone will be like, remember that show you with the PA cut out at the House of Blues? And I'm like, oh yeah, I remember. I'll never forget. So you got to kind of take the, you know, take the bad with the good sometimes, I guess.
Yeah, this kid's, like with the PA, they're getting pissed. They're just like, what the heck? Like yelling back with the booth. And then by the time like our song Stitch rolled around, they lost their minds. I don't know. Somehow it just juiced them up.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, right? Like for a while, people are like, oh my God, is this band, like, am I not going to be able to see this band play? Are they going to have to like cut their set? Like, I want to see this band so bad. And then of course, everybody wants what they can't have. So the second that's like, oh my God, I can't see this band. I came here to see this band. I didn't even come here to see A Day to Remember, even though they did. They think they didn't.
Yeah.
And then, of course, when you guys start ripping into it, they're like, all right, this is sick. And, you know, so there you go. It's good.
Yeah.
It's good. You guys must have, I mean, some crazy stories over the last couple of years of just, like, shit going awry, like, in whatever country you were in.
Oh, yeah. We've been rushed by Syrian refugees.
Are you serious?
On the middle of the highway. Yeah. That's probably the best story that we have. And it was very scary at the time. So this was probably last December. No, 2 Decembers ago. We were on tour with The Amity Affliction, North Lane, and Straight from the Path. And we were doing a border crossing from France back to the UK, I believe. And we were in like a sprinter. We were in like a bucket seat sprinter van.
Like on a ferry?
Yeah, so but we weren't quite to the ferry yet. It was like right before the ferry station.
Okay.
So we were driving this van. I think we're crossing at like 2 or 3 a.m. And we see this tree down in the middle of the road, which is like there's no reason for a tree to be in the middle of the road because there like are no trees around. So we're just like all the cars are stopped and there's like semis there. And then all of a sudden, like 50 to 60 people just come running at the road and start climbing on the cars, trying to get in and like get on top of semis and whatnot. And like we all freaked out super hard and just punched it and squealed over the tree and got up to the other side. But it was for sure, like we thought we were going to die for a second for sure. Like, you don't know what these people are going to do. Like, they're trying to get their family. Like, what would you do for your family? Like, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, it's pretty scary.
I remember, I'm trying to understand, like, they were trying to get in the cars to get...
They were mostly trying to get on, climb on top of the semis and under them so they could sneak in through the ferry. But they were running past the van. We're like, you know, we didn't know if they were going to try to jump inside our van or whatnot. And I remember, going into my backpack and grabbing my toenail clippers. I have like that little tiny shank in it. I'm like, I'm ready. This is all I got.
That's too good. Oh my God. Now that is wild. Jesus.
I remember everyone screaming. We're like, reverse, reverse, reverse. And it's like some stick shift. It's like groaning and making all these noises. I'm just like, I'm about to die.
Yeah, I've never felt closer to that.
Have you guys, how many times have you been to Europe?
Technically two, I think. And then we're headed over in a couple of weeks for, I guess, that. Round three.
With Of Mice and yeah. Men.
Correct.
Which should be a great tour. It's funny, you know, I always wonder, you know, I don't know what you guys, your upbringing was like, you know, in Central Florida, but I always, you know, I'm from Canada, I'm from Toronto, I'm kind of from a major city where there's a lot of multiculturalism and stuff. And I feel like Central Florida isn't really like that. I kind of wonder what it was like for you guys the first time you went over to like Europe and you played, you know, in some of these countries where there's just obviously a huge language barrier, but a cultural difference as well. How that was for you guys, like the first time you went over there.
It was cool. I remember the shows in Germany just being like, yes, I like the songs on the record, but this time did not sound like that, but still good job. I'm like, okay.
That's right, yeah. We call that the review, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They like to tell you what they think, you know. Like, your show tonight, pretty good. Last time, much better.
You're like, and it's like completely, completely unprompted.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
They just felt the need to tell you that, but you gotta appreciate it because they're just being honest. Like, they're not trying to be mean; they're just being honest.
I feel like fans.
I can't wait to hear.
Go ahead.
I said, I remember a guy coming up to me. He goes, why are you yelling into the microphone? Why are you so angry?
Really? Okay. Well.
Yeah, I was like, well, you got a metal show, bro.
So you guys are, you know, a two-vocal band. You know, Cody is in charge of the singing, and Britton, you do the heavy vocals. Although,
yes.
This new song, the acoustic version of your song, Johnny Cash, Britton, you're kind of killing it on those clean vocals.
Oh, thank you, man.
And a lot of your fans were surprised about that. Is that something that you've kind of over the last couple of years of touring and stuff you've developed, or have you always been pretty confident, you know, doing some clean singing?
It's just some new stuff we're working on now. I know we're in with this vocal coach named Mama Jane, and she's working with us right now. She's trying to make me and Cody way better singers, but you know. I love doing the heavy vocals and whatnot. Like, I'll never stop doing it. But, you know, I'm ready for something a little new. So this is us trying it out.
No, definitely. And I think, like, your new record, you know, you guys have always had the elements of, you know, of melody and the elements of heaviness. But I feel like this this new record, it's almost like the heavier parts are heavier and the melodic parts are more melodic. Like, there's more separation in a way. Do you think that's accurate on this record?
Yeah, I think so. I'd probably say that was an intentional thing too. I think you know, our first record was, I mean, I don't really listen to that record that much. I mean, everybody listens to their own record every once in a while, but I feel like we just, a lot of those songs were songs that had been written almost like 6 years previous to the record even being recorded. Like, it was just like scrounging up the best material that we had and putting it together and putting out a new record. Whereas the second record, the one Dead Weight, was like a lot more concentrated and based off things that we were more current on and listening to over the past like 2 years since Blueprints had come out. So definitely like a focus on the record was like, I've never been about like trying to throw a chorus in like a ridiculously heavy song that doesn't need to be there. Like, I always like it when like things feel like they should go there or there's like places for it or whatnot. So on a song like Stitch or a song like Disdain, or basically Deadweight, it's like, there wasn't really like, it's a heavy song. Like, there's not really a place for like me to just like throw this la 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 chorus in there. But then there's a song like Gravity or Johnny Cash that's like very melodic, like, and to the point where like there's like little to no like harsher vocals in it. And that was just kind of an experiment that we did. We're just like, how far can we take this? And thankfully, I think the majority of our fan base was like stoked on that, and especially pushing the even farther melodic agenda with that acoustic version.
Yeah.
We're just kind of trying to see like, how far we can go, you know what I mean? And just like, I feel like the more that we can do and the more diverse our band can be, the more longevity and separation we can put between ourselves and other bands and whatnot.
Right. So I guess that's your goal, right? Is just to keep this going and keep trucking and keep working hard.
Yeah.
And I guess develop yourselves as, you know, a band that kids come to see as a headliner. Is that the goal?
Yeah. We don't want to write the same record over and over and over. I mean, a lot of fans get mad at bands like, oh, you completely changed your sound, which I get. There's some bands that completely abandon like what they actually do, like what actually gets people hyped on it. But I feel like from Blueprints to Deadweight, we definitely tried something new, and the kids were stoked on it also. So we'll see what record 3 pops out, you know?
Absolutely. And working with Jeremy and Andrew Wade, you know, on this record, how much, you know, just to be honest, like how much did they really contribute to, you know, crafting these songs, or did they just mostly kind of just make sure that the performances were great, and this, you know, the record production sound was great, or did they have a role, you know, in some of the writing and arrangement as well?
I think it's probably a little bit of both. I mean, Jeremy is one of the most talented people I have ever been in a room with. Like, the guy just hears, and it's stuff that, like, I would never even think about, whether it be melody-wise or pronunciation-wise or ideal-wise. He's always got this, like, it's like a sixth sense, and he just, like, comes out with these, like, banging ideas. So a lot of the ways that it usually works is we'll have, like, an idea. I'll have something, like, fully pre-prod, and we'll just kind of sit there, and then sometimes, like, an idea hits him, and we'll go with it. For instance, would be, like, the Gravity chorus. Like, I had a chorus idea. We, like, listened to it a couple times, and he, like, left the room with an acoustic and then pulled into the room and then just, like, showed me the variation of what he did that I had on the chorus, and it just, like, made it a million times better. Same thing with the Don't Let Me Fade Away chorus. Andrew is also a great writer, great production as well. So it's just kind of a joint effort thing. Like, there's definitely some contributing, but we definitely always come into the studio with, like, our songs pretty much 100%, like, locked and loaded. And if there's tweaks to be made, then we'll do it. But, yeah, it's somewhere in the middle. But, yeah, definitely help on writing, but also idea-wise.
Yeah, they're very good at pushing you to do your best, too. Like, there's some parts on the record that I'm like, you know, I didn't even think I could go there vocally, but it was still just, I don't know, they're very good at, like, pulling what you actually have out of you, even if you didn't think you could, you know?
Yeah. No, that's always the mark of a great producer. So do you think it's safe to say for LP3, you're going to work with that team again? Is that the plan?
We haven't gotten that far yet. I can only imagine that they will be involved in some aspect. But we haven't really gotten that far yet. We're still very much in the writing phase. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And another thing about your band, you know, it's kind of interesting because, you know, if you just, like, go to your Wikipedia page or whatever, you're looking up the band history, it's like Wage War started in 2010. And it's kind of like, 2010? Well, they only put out 2 records, and, like, the first record was in, like, 2015. This doesn't really make any sense. And then you start to realize you guys have had a couple of name changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I always find name changes very interesting because a lot of bands that should change their name don't, and a lot of bands that shouldn't do, you know? And I think that in your case, you probably, I don't know why you changed your name, but I'm kind of curious as to what happened and how that shook out.
Britt, you want to take this one?
Yeah, well, so our local band, we were called Empires back in the day. And then there was actually, when we started working a little bit with Josh doing that EP that never got released, they're like, well, there's already a band from, I think they were up in New York or Massachusetts, whatever. But you know how it is. Like, once a band starts touring, like, that's their name. And so we're like, well, we got to change that. And we changed it to, what was it, War Within, Cody?
Yep.
And we actually got a letter from this band from, like, like they're still a band, but they were formed in like 1992. They're like, oh, we've trademarked this name. If you don't change it, blah blah blah, we're gonna get our lawyers involved. So we're like, come on.
And they were like a dive bar band, like a cover band, like dive bar band.
Yeah.
And well, I'm like, this really sucks. At the time we got local stuff goes, we got these scrims with two W's on it for like War Within. We're like, oh, well, dang, we're not going to be able to use these anymore. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Cody, but I think someone's mom was just like, well, why don't you just change your name to something with two W's? And we were like, sure. We get to keep the scrims, and that's how Wage of War kind of came about.
I'm pretty sure.
Why didn't you go with Willy Wonka?
I don't know.
That was on the table for sure. That was on the table.
Wayne's World? I mean, there's so many good ones.
Wayne's World? Wincing Whales?
Yeah.
The
best part about the scrims was we had, so the first show that we ever played with a Beta member, they put us on like one of their hometown, like homecoming shows, as War Within. And that's what we got the scrims for. And the scrims came 3 days late. So we never even got to use them.
Oh, yeah. It's so good. I love that. The short-sightedness that local bands, you know, have, that's so good. Yeah. But you know, it's funny because, you know, when I said the thing before about, you know, bands that should change their name don't, and vice versa, you know, you guys are trucking along, you know, you guys are doing these other songs and you're starting to develop a following, not just in Ocala, but on the internet as well. You know, people hear about your band, Empires, and then they're like, maybe this isn't that great, you know? And like, if your band was still called Empires, you run into a problem now where it's like all your early, you know, embarrassing material that probably exists somewhere. Everyone would be like, oh yeah, I'm going to check out this new band, Wage War, I'm hearing about. But they don't check out Deadweight, or they don't check out Blueprints. They check out your old stuff, and then that makes a bad impression. You know what I mean? So in some ways, changing your name can actually be a really good fresh start. You know, kind of hit the reset button.
Mm-hmm. True. I never thought about that. That's actually a great point.
Yeah, a lot of people don't even know that stuff.
No, yeah, it happens like all the time, you know, with those kinds of things, and it's like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. So, you guys, you know, basically you've hit the road for just like, I've never seen a band quite have as much time, you know, on the road and no time off. How has this changed you guys, like your relationships with, whether it's your families or, you know, I know, Britton, you said you have a girlfriend. Well, congratulations for keeping a girlfriend with that schedule. You know, like, how has that been in your guys' lives, you know, and it must be a radical change from where you were a couple of years ago.
Touring cost me quite a bit in the relationship world. So I'm a little bitter about it, I definitely have paid the price, of living the life. I mean, it definitely changes you, and it changes like how you value, the time that you get to spend with people around you. But, it also makes being like able to relate to people a little bit different. Cause most of your friends or whatever are like going to college or whatever. They'll talk, like, you get home and you hang out with them and they're talking to you about like their job or like 9-to-5 job. And you're just like, you're obviously still best friends, but it's just like hard to relate on like certain topics now. Cause you're just like, I live a completely different, strange lifestyle where I'm like, here and gone and whatnot. It put some strain, I think, on everybody in all the areas with family and whatnot, you know, missing family events. We've all missed best friends' weddings and funerals and, you know, just all of the stuff that, you know, you know and have heard. But it's been interesting for sure.
Yeah. No, definitely. It can be really tough. Switching gears a little bit, you know, musically, you guys seemingly are able to play with pretty much any range of bands, you know, from like pretty melodic, lighter stuff, you know, to kind of the heaviest of heavy. Do you guys enjoy playing like, with that diversity, do you prefer going out with heavier bands or softer bands? How do you guys feel about that?
That's a really good question. I don't think I have a preference, but I do know we always build a set list kind of catering to what the tour is kind of like. Like the one tour we did with Chelsea Grant a while back that we were just playing like most of our heavy stuff. And then like the, A Day to Remember run we did with them, last year, we just kind of pull out some of the more melodic stuff. And I feel like that really helps our band being able to have, you know, just different songs. I think, like touring wise, it really, really helps. Cause you know, the heavy guys who like the like hardcore mosh pit and all that kind of stuff, they can like, oh, you know, they have some singing stuff. I think I can still get down to this. So I think that's really cool for our band.
I would personally always prefer to be on the heavier side of like the tour package, just cause there's something about being the heavy band that people are like, oh, this is sick. You know what I mean?
Oh, totally.
Not that we usually are the heaviest band, because we're kind of split down the middle now. But I mean, there's like playing like really heavy tours. It can be intimidating sometimes, because like Ray was talking about on that Chelsea Grin tour. Like Chelsea Grin is just so heavy, like just crushing every single night. And you know, it's like we have breakdowns or whatever here and there. But then we have like all this singing stuff, and like the kids with like 3-inch and like gauges and whatnot are like not about that. And so, but it's cool. And it's a good chance to grow as a band. And some people like Brent said, like they'll like the singing stuff sometimes, or they won't or whatever, but we do cater our set list. But yeah, I think I would always prefer to be on a lighter tour and be the heavier band.
No, definitely. I agree with you on that one. I mean, there's no question. We've toured with everything from like Avril Lavigne to, you know, August Burns Red. And yeah, I definitely am with you on that one. It's nice to kind of freak people out on the heavy side, not the other way around. Definitely. So you guys are doing Warp Tour for the final run, which we could finally talk about. I know you guys did it 2 years ago. Are you excited for that? Are you, you know, dreading the heat?
We're pretty stoked. The first time we did Warped Tour, we did it in a van. So now we're going to like in a van stuff. We're not going to feel like we're dying every day.
And we drove ourselves, which was equally as bad as being in a van.
Yeah. I remember driving like 7 in the morning. You just get your eyes closed. Someone's knocking on the window. You got to move the van. You move the van, you and the rest of the guys like, "Hey, we're playing first." And it's just like, "Oh my god, oh my god!"
Playing first is almost better in that situation. You know, first, and then you're able to take a fucking nap. It's like when they're like, "Nope, you're playing last," and you're like, "What am I going to do all day in this heat? You have nowhere to go. Yeah. We've got to run the van air conditioning all day long. It's horrible."
And then the van AC like doesn't work because the van is just baking in the sun the whole day. So it's like at best it's just hot air moving around.
We put
sun blinders all around the van, like the shiny things. Like we velcroed them to every single window, and was just like that was our little green room thing.
That's brutal. Like, kudos to you guys for getting through it without. Well, A, dying, or B, breaking up. But you must have had people warning you, like, left, right, and center, like, do not do this in a van. Do not do this in a van.
Oh, yeah.
There, like, wasn't another option financially. And, like, we've always been about, like, being as lucrative as possible. And, like, you know, we still do van tours. And we're actually, Europe is about to be our first bus tour ever. And it's because we're sharing it with Tyler. And then obviously the bandwagon this summer, that'll be like our own thing. But we've just always been about trying to make the best decisions money-wise. Like I saw a lot of bands that the year that we did in a van do it in buses and stuff. And I'm thinking like, I know how much money, you know, most bands our level are getting paid. So it's like, this can't be a good financial decision. And, you know, we all try to pay bills and stuff at home. as well. So, yeah. You know, it was cool. But like I said, they're like, we at first it was always like, yeah, we got to do this in a band. Again. So everyone's like, you can't do this in a band. Like, you'll die. Like, break up, exactly what you said. But we just kind of like, we were just kind of focused on making the best financial decision for the band. And I think that was everyone's motive. Not that we're all about money, but that like, we just want to make, we don't want to put ourselves in the hole. You know what I mean?
No, I see the wage. Wage is about making your wages. That's what the band name means Correct. Now. This all makes sense. I get it. Yeah, no, it's you're right. You're right, though. And it's I think with Warped Tour, a lot of bands, they just kind of say, eh, fuck it. Like, we just won't make any money on this tour and be comfortable and, like, you know, and whatever. And then I look at bands, like the band that I always was inspired by on that front was August Burns Red. I remember we did... it was actually A Day to Remember. It was a headliner. It was A Day to Remember and August Burns Red, and we were third from the top. And we were in a bandwagon. We were actually, this is funny, we were actually in the first bandwagon ever. We were the first band ever to have a bandwagon because we used, that company used to be called Northern Gold. They were a bus company. They had three buses, and we used to rent from them. So when they came out with the bandwagon, they asked us if we wanted to like try it out. So that was in 2010, I believe, and we were the first band in a bandwagon. But anyways, we were in the bandwagon, and That's August great. Burns Red was playing above us, and they were in a van, and they had never done a bus tour up to that point. And they were just like raking in the money. And I think at the end of the tour, they all bought houses.
Holy crap. So,
yeah, that's what I heard. I heard they did van tours until they all bought houses.
Yeah, that's crazy. Exactly what happened. And that's like, you know, I think that's a good approach because once you're a band and you're in a bus and you get used to that comfort, it's real hard to go back to the van. It's really tough.
Oh, I'm sure. I can't even imagine. That's like, geez. Yeah.
No. We Silverstein. We haven't done a van tour in 13 years. So we're not going back.
That's
not in the cards. It's just not in the cards. So, and we live in Toronto. That's another thing too that bands don't talk about. It's like, well, where do you live? Where are you from? Like, we live in Toronto. It's like very, very expensive where we live. You know, some bands like, geez, Nashville, that's like the best place ever now. It's so cheap to live there.
Yeah, it's like the best. I'm pretty stoked. Yeah, so this was my first time, like actually moving out like on my own, just cause like the past 3-4, whatever years, like it just never made sense cause we haven't been home at all. So it's like, why would I leave the comfort of my parents' house? But now that we had the time off and, I got a nice little spot and, I'm pretty stoked.
Were your parents sad to see you go? It's like they never see their son because he's always on tour and now he's moving to a different state.
Oh, my mom was devastated. Still probably is, but I do my best to the good thing is pretty much everything for the band is based around Central Florida. So I'm pretty much always still going down there for like I'm going down there next week because we got like pre-pro rehearsals for Of Mice and like we're flying out of Orlando. So she gets to see me quite a bit. Oh, I say I get to see them. I want to see my parents as well. I get to see them quite a bit and they get to see me. So, you know, and it's only like a day's drive, like 9 hours away. Like it's not as bad, but I feel like touring almost like helps set that up though. Cause it's like, that's the best way to like get used to someone being gone a lot. It's like, well, so first I'll give you the trial with the touring, and now I'm actually gone. You know what I mean?
I guess so. whatever works.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't want to take up too much more of your time. Thanks so much for doing this. What do you guys got coming up next? I mean, obviously there's Europe. Is there anything else you can talk about coming up? You got Europe and Warped Tour. Any other videos coming out? Anything like that?
We're working on some stuff, but I don't think we can officially say but keep your eyes peeled. There's definitely some stuff going to come out.
All right. Keep your eyes peeled.
Yeah, we got some stuff happening. We'll be touring for the rest of the year. But yeah, not all of it's now. And yeah, there's video goodies and stuff on the way as well. But thank you for having us.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. No, it's really great to see your band. And I've been known about you guys for your, you know, since you put out your first record. It's really great to see finally, you know, all the hype is happening and the hype is real, and you guys are a great band. So thank you for taking the time, and I'm sure I'll see you on the Warped Tour.
For sure, man. Absolutely.
We're doing the thing where we're just jumping on for, like, we do four shows and then we leave for like 5 days and we jump on for four shows. So we're going to come in all like chipper and like happy, and you guys are all going to just be like feeling so beaten down doing the whole tour. Like, so we're going to be the, like, we're gonna bring the party. Okay.
All right.
All right, yeah, man. Thank you, Britton. Thank you, Cody, for taking the time, and enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
Awesome. Thank you, bro.
All right, man. Take care, guys.
Bye. Bye.
So there it is with the dudes from Wage War. Such a hardworking band. I don't know how they find time to do all this stuff, but make sure you go see them, whether you're in Europe, whether you're going to see them on Warped Tour. I know they probably have so much stuff planned, and I'm sure they're going to have a third record out very soon as well. Next week, we will be back. Andrew Neufeld of Comeback Kid is the guest. Make sure you're subscribed. Hit the subscribe button. We're going to be together in Australia. It's going to be a good time. I don't know if we're going to do an updated one because we already did one in Europe. Who knows? But it's a great conversation, so make sure you check it out. Comeback Kid is one of the greatest hardcore bands of all time. I'm just going to put that out there. At this point, they just are. So make sure you check that out. Hit the subscribe button. And of course, if you like the show, tell a friend, tell a loved one. Let's keep this thing spreading. I'm going to leave you with a Wage War tune. They got lots of great songs, but I wanted to play one that kind of showcases both vocalists of the band. So here is Witness by Wage War on Lead Singer Syndrome. Peace and love. We'll see you next week.
Get the strength. A lot of chasing the last year.